This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Hope you're enjoying a nice cold Hey Man Ale. You can today, Mike, because we're out here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, inviting you to come on out. We're out here until 7 o'clock tonight, guys. We got a lot to talk about on a big Friday program out here, as the news just came down about, 20 minutes ago, that the roof is going to be open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we get ready for the Eagles in week two of the National Football League. So we've talked about this. The whole first season, remember the whole roof thing?
And right.
Is it going to fix? Is it going to get fixed to work during the Super Bowl? It did, obviously. And now everything's working perfectly. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I know it's been hot outside, but this is when the roof should be open. September, October.
Right on.
You know, I have no issues with this. I actually am excited about the roof being open on Sunday.
Well, I mean, that's why we built this thing. That's why we spent an extra $200 million on that roof that Arthur Blank had to shell out to get that sucker to work right. So I don't know if they're going to do that for the United match, which is also on Saturday night, and they got to flip it around and get the stadium right for the Falcons and the Eagles. But it looked so dramatic when we had the Packers here for Monday night for the first night of Mercedes-Benz on national TV. It looked really dramatic. It obviously looked great for the flyover at the Super Bowl. So, man, looking forward to it. As Andy Bunker said to wrap up the show with Andy and Randy, please, Falcons, win. Please. Because we come in here on a Monday, and we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. A lot of guys here at the bar are like, what the hell's going on? What do you think we're doing? Some kind of fantasy football draft with headsets?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
doing your pick, Mike. Your
doing pick. A radio show. But so anyway, we got a beer. If you're new to the show, we got ice cold Hey Man Ale, so try that. It's a hearty beer. You're going to love it. But we're here till 7 o'clock, and we're going to have a lot of fun. But the thing, Carl, if we come in here on Monday, and we're 0-2, it could be a lot of doom and gloom. We're going to have a hard time getting people's heads right about this team.
Yeah, I will say this. If the Eagles come in here and outplay us and we lose a close game and I feel better about our performance, it's still going to suck to lose, but I will feel better about our football team. Right now, after week one, and we've been saying this all week, it was just hard to feel good about any aspect of our football team, from a physicality standpoint to not being able to run the football to the kicking game. So all of those things matter. We need to play clean on Sunday, and we're going to break down the game today, give you our keys to victory. We'll also talk more about what Doug Peterson had to say and let you hear from Free and Julio as well. But, you know, for me, Mike, this is an important game. And again, I said as we started the week, I'm not going to tell you it's a must win, but this is a very important game. And when you talk about the Eagles, a potential playoff team, I think it's Eagles, Cowboys, and the NFC East. This is a team that I think, you know, potentially we could see down the road. And we haven't had success against this team over the last 3 years. And you know why? We said it. Red zone.
Yeah, I mean, goes back to Sarkisian. There's things we can blame on the previous regime. Well, guess what? Dirk Cutter's back. We should have a better offensive line, I think. I mean, we're going to find out if Jamon Brown can do the job at the right guard position. But one thing for certain, Carl touched on it. We've got to be physical. The idea was to get more physical, to beef up the run game. That's why we went and brought in another fullback. We're trying to make things so we're more balanced. You know what I mean? Last year, it was all about the passing game, and Matt had great numbers, but defenses didn't respect the run game, so they were able to get a lot of hands on Matt. He got hit a million times, still put up good numbers. Got to have the balance. Eagles defense has been our nemesis. Fletcher Cox, the guy in particular, Carl, because he is literally the Kool-Aid man coming in and breaking up a lot of the things we tried to do.
He is. I mean, we've averaged, guys, we're 0-3 in the last three meetings. We've only averaged 12.3 points in those games. We scored two touchdowns in 9 total trips to the red zone. Now, again, some of the reasons why that happened and some of the people that were here responsible for it are no longer here, but that's the history of playing the Eagles. So
right.
If that doesn't improve, you know, again, Matt Ryan completed 4 of 17 passes, 19 yards in the red zone with 1 touchdown and a pick, 2 sacks and a passer rating of 34.7. That's not good. That means we've gotten down there, gotten bogged down, and can't get in the end zone. So we got to find a way to do that. That's number one with our offense. But then also, Mike, you know, this is plain and simple, and it's very simplistic. We just got to hold on to the football. We just got to, you know, protect the ball. It sounds silly and easy. We cannot allow what happened last week to happen again. And again, what are the odds of them blocking a punt or us fumbling? Who knows? But you got to have ball control.
Right. And the turnovers killed us. Everybody said it. You know, it's the first thing they asked. And by the way, we talked about it. If you missed our conversation with Alex Mack, we'll play some more cuts from that coming up a little bit later. As we're driving guys away from the bar, these guys are running away from his car. Look at this. These guys are like, get me away from the sports talk radio hosts.
I didn't know what they were doing.
Sorry, sir. They're heading out to the balcony. I don't know if they're Eagles fans or they just think we suck, but either way, we just chased two guys off the bar.
They might be Eagles fans.
Squid Billy says they're going to go smoke a Marlboro. Okay, thanks, Squid. That's reinforcing my get some positive energy here on a Friday.
Yeah, I had no idea what they were doing.
Anyway, man, we're hanging out here till 7 at Twin Peaks, but we'll be talking more about what the Falcons had to say. Get Dave Archer's take about this, this offense, which has got to get things cooking. Well, the good news is, guys, we've got depth. The bad news is you're going up against a really difficult defensive line to kind of squash what you're trying to do. As Carl just laid it out, we couldn't get that final yard or 2 yards. How many times against the Eagles? That was the ultimate irony, how the season started last year. It was almost, Carl, a duplicate of how the season ended in the 17 playoffs,
yeah,
where we just couldn't get it going in the red zone. And unfortunately for us, that even goes back to the days of Mike Smith, the short yardage and the red zone performance. And we're going to have that. And I hope we're going to have a home field advantage. I hope everybody's in there. They're fired up because, you know, I do think we're going to see a lot of Philly fans here, and that's also going to be a problem.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And yeah, we're out, but we can obviously get your text as well. You can follow us on social media, guys. The radio station, 929 The Game. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow Mike and I. He is Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And we invite you to find us Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Here's the deal, too, Mike, as we talk about this game. And again, we'll be breaking it down throughout the course of the show. But, you know, the other thing is the run game. And I want you to hear from Devontae Freeman. He spoke to the media yesterday. He was asked two main things. One was, did you feel like, you know, people were asking how timid he was. It seemed like he didn't have the explosion. The other thing he was asked about is the offensive line and how confident he is running behind what now is a revised offensive line with the injuries, obviously, to Chris Lindstrom. Here's what Free had to say about his confidence level in regards to running behind our offensive line. Well, I guess not. I guess Free's not there. We'll let you hear that in just a little bit.
What you would have heard Free saying is he feels good.
Yes.
He did want to get some contact. Unfortunately, contact resulted in a fumble. The thing about Free is there's a lot of doubters out there. We've talked a lot about it. And, you know, we lobbied for the guy to get the contract. And then it just wasn't – we were telling you how good he looked in camp, and it just wasn't the way you want to start off the season. But, again, the fumble didn't really have that explosiveness to your point. And then once you get down, you're not going to see him anyway because we're not going to have time to run the ball. We've got to throw to play catch-up.
Well, I think the confidence question is, you know, do you feel good about this particular group of guys? And it's so early in the season. Again, the holes weren't there and the run game was pretty absent. But Freep says he is confident about the group in front of him. I want to see that this week. The run game has to get established. Hey, man, we want to hear from you guys. Last night, Braves lose, but the magic number remains 8, Mike, and that's the good news. I mean, we lose, but we get some help from some other teams. I said it. As long as it's 8 or below, I'm fine heading into the weekend. We could come back next week, and obviously this thing could be on the verge of actually happening.
Now, do you look at what you saw from Swarzak last night and you say, you know, hey, the guy had some really good outings. Again, everybody in this bullpen had good days and bad days, but you and I were talking yesterday about how Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snitker, they start to formulate what this postseason roster is going to look like and just what exactly is the pitching going to look like. What do you take from last night? And how are we going to use, do you trust, by the way, using Julio Teheran out of the bullpen? Because we don't envision him being one of the starters in like a best of five.
Well, remember, we talked about is that part of the thought process maybe with Brian Snitker as we move along here, and he says, okay, I want Julio Teheran in the bullpen. I'd rather be able to use his arm than maybe go to someone else that hasn't been as productive in the bullpen. Julio's been a very good starter for us. I mean, he's been consistent this year. But as far as last night, you know, we had won 3 of the 4 games against the Nationals last weekend. And then, you know, we come into Friday's game. Magic number's 8. We talked about it. But I know you still are concerned about a little bit more maybe about the bullpen than I am.
Well, just curious what it's going to look like. You know, just curious how they're going to use it. I mean, last night you got to see Luke Jackson. Again, it's always a bit of an adventure. I just hate seeing, like any other baseball manager, any fan, the leadoff walks drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Or taking a guy 3-2. It just seems like there's never an easy Luke Jackson outing. But again, if you want to go strictly by the numbers, he's been a part of some wins. And he's been a part, unfortunately, of putting guys on base, letting them in, and then the Braves would rescue him late in the game. I'm just trying to figure out, And again, if you have to go to your bullpen in the fourth or fifth inning, we're probably in deep trouble against the, you know, Nationals, Dodgers, Cardinals, whoever it's going to be anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just curious what they're going to do with the final decision. On this first go-round, as you brought up yesterday, they can then alter that. If we go to the NLCS, you change your roster. You can bring some new guys in or off.
The thing that stood out to me last night, and yes, it was a loss, but Ronald Acuna in this chase to 40-40, I mean, he's close, guys. And, again, I think, you know, as far as our city and Braves fans, we should be celebrating something that we hadn't seen in a very long time. And if it happens, Acuna is going to become the fifth guy ever to do it. And I want you to think about that. Think about all the guys that play baseball. You're talking about the fifth guy to ever do it. So, you know, he hits his 39th home run last night. He stole a couple of bags. And the thing that I didn't think he would be able to do is get close to 40 with the stolen bases. But I said this, Mike, when we talked about it a week or so ago. I said, every time he gets on base, take a chance. You know, we're in the lead. We're in control of this division. He might as well run. And I know Realmuto threw him out, you know, the night before. But the deal is, every time he gets on now, he's taking a shot. So I think Acuna is going to get there.
Been a strange series in Philly. You know what I mean? Things just not going our way. I know, as you said, all we're caring about is the magic number getting lower, but Phillies are still alive in the wild card. And it's, you know, despite how wacky their bullpen is, the Phillies are still in the mix. By the way, Gabe Kapler screws up. See it last night? He screwed up the bullpen again. The umpire's got to come out and say, what are you doing? He did that his first year against us. He's done that twice against the Braves. If you didn't see it last night, you know, you had clutch hitting. Obviously, Turan did not have his A game, didn't have the good movement on the fastball spot in his locations. Not that he's got a fast fastball, you know what I mean. But you know what really irked me last night?
What's that?
Austin Riley makes that great throw from right field. And normally, 9 times out of 10, Brian McCann's going to be right there with the tag. He just anticipated the runner being further up the baseline. He goes for the swipe tag, and he misses him.
Gone.
There were some moments there. Now, granted, it didn't matter because Suarez came in and threw gasoline on the fire. But it's been a strange series with Philly. And we're giving them some life. We're
giving them a little life. Yeah, I agree. Markakis, by the way, is going to take he took BP for the second straight day. He'll be reevaluated today, and a decision will be made on when they are going to activate him. That could happen today. It did. Okay, so he is active as we speak. But I know we've been waiting to see Mark Akers. We're going to let you hear what Dale Murphy had to say about coming back from this wrist injury and having the swing and how that may affect him. So this is something, again, Mike, we said, let Mark Akers play. If you want him for the playoffs, and we know that's the case, let him get his swing back and continue to let Dansby hit in there as well, as you might want to rest other guys. Hey, we got a lot to get to, man. Joe Patrick's going to join us, our Braves insider, at 2:40. So stay tuned for that. We'll get his take on Markakis coming back. Camargo has a shin fracture, is what they're saying.
Because initially they thought it was going to be okay, but it's tough because we just saw Christian Yelich in a similar kind of at-bat go down, and now, unfortunately for the Braves, you know, a guy that they could plug in a number of spots. The batting has been a roller coaster for Camargo, but now, obviously, we're not going to see him in the postseason.
All right, more on the Braves with Joe Patrick coming up. Also, along the way, guys, a plethora of guests today, including our own Dave Archer, color analyst for Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, a bunch of stuff here on Friday the 13th.
Is it really?
It is.
You know what? I didn't even check that. Wow, I should have been more careful driving up here. Wow, that wasn't really smart. I gotta reevaluate. You know, shows you how I got my head in the sand or my head in the clouds. One of the two.
It is Friday the
13th. No idea. Be careful out there.
All right, man, we're coming back. We'll hit some headlines.
Chew your food. I'm not doing the Heineken maneuver.
We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on through. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're out here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be out here until 7 o'clock tonight. What's going on, Mike?
No, I was laughing because we started the show. Some of our regulars started rolling in. We got some of our usual suspects here at the bar. It was just funny. We started the show at 2, and there were a couple guys. They were here for lunch. And it just kind of – it's like when I used to do stand-up comedy, and you've been on stage doing comedy. It's just kind of off-putting when you're in the middle of your show. And all of a sudden, people
get up.
They grab their drinks, and they walk away. And I was like, was it something I said? But then everyone else rolled in and filled it up. So now we're back, and we're rocking and rolling. So come on down to Twin Peaks. We got some beautiful babies working today, and actually, we got one in the oven. Last day for that bartender, so tip for two, guys, if you're out here today. She's about to have a little baby.
That she is. I was over there talking to a buddy of mine, and I said, how far along are you? She was like, any day now. I was like, okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
So yeah, come here. You might actually get a show and a show if she does drop. But we're hanging out here till 7 o'clock, Twin Peaks and Kennesaw. Come on down. We got a busy weekend. Not the biggest weekend, Carl. You and I were just talking football-wise.
College
is a couple of games. Yeah. You know, there's a couple of SEC games, Bama, South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida. I know Arch is going to join us later. He's at Iowa for the, I guess, the Cy-Hawk Trophy, Iowa and Iowa State. But the NFL, man, all eyes on the Falcons on Sunday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, and we'll get into this in our NFL Blitz segment. Joe Patrick's on the way in about 10 minutes. What'd you make of last night, man? A division game between Tampa Bay and Carolina. There was a rain and lightning delay, actually, lightning delay, where they cleared out the stadium, and you know, they played about 25 minutes later.
Right.
But Carolina now 0-2. This losing streak, Mike, continues.
Well, Ron Rivera's going to get fired because if you had a the old owner, no one survives a 7-game losing streak, and you're not making the playoffs. The new owner now, we're going to see how what kind of a leash that Ron Rivera is going to have. I'll say this. For a guy like Norv Turner, who's been around for, 30 years, to play exactly into Tampa Bay's hands, he just, hey, let Cam beat us. And Cam couldn't. Cam did hit some big throws, and then he would miss by 10 yards. It was crazy. Cam was never the most accurate quarterback, save for the MVP season. But, geez, man, he looked god-awful last night.
Yeah.
It was an awful game, period. But it was, if his style makes the fight, there was not a lot of style last night.
I know that, you know, guys are going to say, well, wait a minute. Dukes and Bell, he threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, but
it wasn't that.
And they had to settle for field goals every time he made a big throw.
It was the inaccuracy of the throws and throws off his back foot. I mean, it was just – I'm starting to wonder, and I know he went and visited with Tom House. If you're not familiar with him, he's like a quarterback guru, has helped our own Matt Ryan and others with their throwing motion after this surgery. But I still just haven't seen what effects from Tom House and others that have worked with him that have played out on the field. So, right now, Cam Newton to me is a big question mark. Big question mark.
How are you going to give him a contract when his contract's up?
You can't. You
know, and Jameis is grinding it out right now. Bruce Arians, if you didn't see the game last night, very strange ending. No rhythm to it. The Bucs called 2 timeouts in a row. The Carolina Panthers with McCaffrey. Remember the day when Cam would have been the weapon? Remember the day if you had 1 yard to get
in the goal line situation?
Cam Newton would have been the guy you feared.
That's right.
He's not even the option. They've got him off as a decoy, and McCaffrey takes it on a play that nobody was fooled by. And if you didn't see it, Hargraves, the former Florida defensive back, makes a big play. They get the stop. They review it. And how many reviews can you cram into 3 minutes? I was watching that game last night. It was like War and Peace. But the good news is, if you want to see the rest of the division struggle, it is. And the Saints could have lost the other night, save for the Texans' stupidity in that coverage.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes with Cam. I really am.
We're supposed to be one of the best, most competitive divisions in football. We don't look like it through, you know, one week and a quarter.
One team did. Saints.
Right.
That was it. Everybody else, not so much. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. More on that coming up. Joe Patrick on the way. Jahi is our engineer back at the studio.
Is he going to get his stuff straightened out or what?
Yeah, he said actually he played that free cut earlier.
What, did only dogs hear it?
Apparently. dog whistle. But everything's been corrected.
Oh.
So he's good to go. Bo Morgan here with us, our executive producer. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, earlier I said I wanted you to hear Free talk about confidence and the O-line. All right, here's Devontae Freeman.
I feel good. I'm confident in whoever is out there on the field. Like I said, it's all about us. I like us. I work with these guys every single day, so I know the work and the strain, the effort that they put in. So, you know, a man at work can't do nothing but believe in him.
What do you expect from Free? What do you need from Free?
How about 80 yards and a touchdown?
Okay.
How about, 20 carries, 85? I mean, Freeman from 15 and 16, where the guy, look, he was never going to run away from linebackers or corners, but he's always had the ability to make the big play and finish his runs, and in a small sample size and what you saw the last year. And then, remember, he was only playing like 3 weeks a year ago. Just doesn't look like the old Free. I'm hoping we're going to see some of that explosiveness. The problem with Free is, Carl, I think he's a lot like Warrick Dunn, and you've got to give him touches to get him into a rhythm. Otherwise, he'll go 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, boom, and then break one. And I just don't know if they're going to have the patience to do that when you got Ito Smith. The same way that Shanahan was able to kind of find that balance from when to dial up Coleman, when to go with Free. We need Free to be that guy, man, because if you don't get it, we're going to have to go with Ito.
Yeah, I'm with you on the more carries.
You agree with that, though?
You've got to
get him that rhythm. He's going to break one.
Yeah, get him in a rhythm. Julio was talking about the Eagles the last couple of times we've seen them. Obviously, this is something that's being stressed this week because Julio's talking about it. And it's red zone, guys. We got to find ways to get in the end zone. Here's Julio Jones.
You know, so happily, you know, the last whatever 2 years or whatever we played them, it came to the red zone. But it might not be the red zone, you know, this game. So it's not one of those things to close my mind off to everything else can possibly happen in the game and focus on the red zone if I'm not doing it before we get to the red zone.
Yeah, but Julio, it's come down to the red zone.
But Julio, it's about you and Matt in the red zone.
It's come down to the red zone. But I hear you. I mean, it could, like, his example is, and Julio's right, last week had nothing to do with the red zone. It had to do with turnovers and block punts and all that stuff. So I understand where he's going, but in these games against the Eagles specifically, as I said, it's come down to that, Mike. We've averaged 12.3 points. 12.3 points.
We are 18-18 since we blew a 20. I don't have to tell you about this. You know that after we blew the 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, that's what Dan Quinn and his team is. We're 18-18. Mark Bradley wrote about it today in the AJC. We are the definition of mediocre. We've got all these guys that you want on your fantasy team, but we can't win the big game. So that's the problem. I know the injuries. I don't have to rehash why we've done what we've done. To me, 17 is frustrating even more so because the defense was so good. And the offense with all those weapons couldn't do their job. And then last year, the injuries came up. And then whatever Marquand Manuel was supposed to be doing that he wasn't, Dan Quinn moved on from him. But we talked about it yesterday. You held the Rams and the Eagles to 28 points. And then you still can't get to the Super Bowl. That's mind-boggling when you got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and all those weapons we talked about.
Here's the Eagles head coach, Doug Peterson.
Peterson.
Talking about the last few times we played the Eagles, they've been able to get to Matt Ryan.
Our guys just, I don't want to say they played differently, but, you know, they just get after him. And they put pressure on him. And anytime you do that to quarterbacks and disrupt their timing, you can cause turnovers, incomplete passes, move them off his spot, whatever it is. You know, we've been able to do that.
Yeah, physicality is what he's talking about. That's what Dan, or Doug Peterson's talking about. This is going to be a physical game. You got to know that going in. It won't be easy. More on the Falcons coming up. Meanwhile, let's talk Braves, Mike, because we lose last night. Magic number is still 8. Max Scherzer. We'll see if what he can do against the Braves. That series starts tonight. Nationals continue their quest to have a wild card spot, and you said it. They're still playing for something.
I was just talking about it, one of our listeners here at the bar during the commercial break. You don't want to give the Phillies life. We certainly don't want to give the Nationals life, but I do believe Nationals are going to hang on to be that number one wild card, don't you?
I do. I really do. Last night, the one of the highlights at least, Ronald Acuna, best young player in baseball, hits home run number 39.
A 3-2. And a fly ball to center field. Back he goes to the wall and gone. Ronald Acuna Jr. with a solo shot. A step closer within a home run of 40.
That's courtesy of Fox. The game was on Fox, by the way, for those who were paying attention.
How much fun was Smoltz last night?
Money.
You see the relief pitcher last night for the Phillies, Parker. I got to do this. It doesn't help if you're in your car. You see this guy doing like the funky chicken when he's in the stretch?
Trying to get
down.
He
literally looks like Rodney Dangerfield hitting a golf ball in Caddyshack. If you didn't see it, this guy's got about 7 ticks before he finally comes to set. And Smoltz is like, you got to be kidding me.
It's a lot of movement.
And the guy's bounced around, been on a bunch of teams. But it was funny. He was effective. But if you're watching the Braves-Phillies the last couple of days, you saw Parker. It's like, what is he doing?
Yeah, it was weird. we said this, guys. Soroka's looking for his first career win against the Nationals, by the way. He'll be on the hill tonight.
They bounced him around a little bit.
They have. So in 4 starts this season, all of them this season, 0-2 with a 3.86 ERA. So Soroka looking to have some success against the Nationals tonight. Over his last 7 starts, though, again, record not always indicative of how good a pitcher has been. 1-2 with the 3.43 ERA. If Soroka can get out of that first inning, he's hard to hit, and we've seen that. If he gets out of that first inning, he settles in, and he's hard to hit. So that's hopefully what happens tonight.
And we told you earlier, guys, if you missed it, Johan Camargo, apparently there was a break on the shin, on the tibia. So he's banged up, so he'll go on the IL today. Braves, by the way, you talked about Markakis, so we may see him in the lineup. We'll talk about that when that drops. Also, guys, they brought back Tuki Toussaint and Bryce Wilson. Kyle Wright, you can expand the roster, so more pitching help.
All right, one last thing. Atlanta United in action tomorrow.
Yeah, buddy.
Carlos Bocanegra, our technical director, talked about this 2-week break, and now it's back to work.
The best part about this was the break. The guys got to mentally get away from everything. We know it's a playoff stretch run now, and it's the money time, so to speak, so we've got to be focused and home in front of a big crowd. It's a great way to kick off, you know, the back half of the season again.
It is, Mike, and let's be honest, we should be able to handle Columbus Crew, right?
Yes, they've been struggling of late. Now, certainly, guys, we got to play three games in a week. So if we get up, the best thing would be get a nice lead. Then we can bring some guys off the bench. Remember, you only get three subs in soccer. It's not like football. You can sub out the team. But the idea to keep the guys fresh, pick the right pieces. Hopefully, I would imagine we'll keep rolling with what's been working for Frank DeBoer through the win streak until we lost to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Justin Meram on the side bringing the ball up. Obviously, you've got Barco banged up if you missed our conversation with Mike Conti in the Five Stripes preview. So you might not see Barco on Saturday night. But you will see Escobar back out there, Miles Robinson returning from action with the U.S. men's national team. So that's good news. And just keep on doing what we're doing. You know, get the ball to Joseph, let him finish. As always, the glue man is Darlington Nagbe. So I think we should beat them. Hopefully we can beat these guys and give some of the dudes who are going to need some rest with those next two games some rest.
Join 92.9 The Game this Sunday starting at 4. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford and Jim Bean. Hugh Douglas, Andy Bunker broadcasting live off of Northside Drive across the street from the Gold Deck, guys. So go by and see our guys on Sunday. We'll come back. Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joins us next on Dukes and Bell. Magic number continues to be 8 for our Atlanta Braves. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on out and hang out with your boys. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys out here and join a nice cold Hey Man Ale. Also, coming up a little bit later on, you're going to get a chance to hear our conversation with Doug Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, Chicago PD, Sergeant Peterson. Yeah. Now, for those that are too young, remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Come on, man. That's a classic.
Rooney, you're a blank hole.
It's a classic. So we spoke with Coach Peterson a while back, but you will hear what he had to say about his quarterback, Carson Wentz. We'll see him on Sunday night. And also the run game, because we asked him about these running backs.
Yeah, and it looks like Miles Sanders is going to get a chance to be the man. We'll talk more about what that run rotation is going to look like, and also, you know, the expectations. And for you guys that remember how the Super Bowl went down, we asked him about that fateful decision to go with a very dramatic, gutsy call late in the game, the Philly. You'll hear Doug Peterson on the way.
All right, man. Right now, let's talk to our Braves insider. His name's Joe Patrick. Joe, what is going on today, man? Let's start first with this chase for 40-40, because you know I've been enthralled by it. I'm excited about the opportunity to get a chance to see it up close and personal. Four guys have done it. I asked you this weeks ago, and you said, I'm not counting Ronald out of this. And last night, he steals a couple of bags, hits another home run. It looks like he's going to get this done, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And this what is really happening is that this next week coming up is shaping up to possibly be just a really, really special week for Braves fans. I mean, one of those weeks that you could remember for, you know, the rest of your life as a Braves fan. If this team can clinch the division on this next coming homestand, as well as Ronald possibly getting 40-40 on the homestand, you really hope that it would happen in front of the Braves fans at SunTrust Park because of, you know, just the way they've supported him, not just this season, but just throughout his whole career so far. Just could be a really special week. And again, like I said earlier, and I'm glad you referenced it, you know, I think he's going to get it. At this point, he's definitely going to get it, in my opinion. I think that the steals, you know, the steals have ramped up completely since the All-Star break. I think he has some, almost close to 30 steals just since the All-Star break. He's just been really pushing for it, for this number, and I think that he'll get it. I just hope he does it in front of the home fans.
And the world we live in now with analytics, you know, it's almost like a base dealer is like a unicorn these days because you guys go station to station. They don't really want to see that, and I love it. I mean, to me, that's National League Baseball at its core. And Real Muto, one of the better catchers, by the way. So, I mean, also you got to look at how many catchers these days can actually throw a guy out. So I hope he does get it. But you think Snitker is going to be a little more aggressive just for him, or does Snitker not alter the plan?
No, I mean, I don't think they'll really change much. I do just kind of question how much input the coaches have and how much is just Acuna going for it. Because last night, we saw him take second, and then he just stole third right after that. And I think that's kind of the thing when it comes to Ronald Acuna. That's what's so fun to watch about him, because he just does the things that are kind of unexpected. No, I don't think anybody was expecting him to swipe third after he had just swiped second with none out in the inning last night. So it's just fun to watch him. I think he's going to be aggressive. You know, I think he's going to get the 40 stolen bases. He only needs a few more here. So things are looking positive, and I don't have any doubts.
We are talking with Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. It's a discussion a lot of folks have been having. Mike and I talked about it earlier this week. How's your rotation look when we roll into the playoffs? Who's your first starter?
Yeah, I think the first starter for me is going to be Dallas Keuchel. He's really put it together here recently. And what kind of made me realize that he is the best option for this team right now is what he said to us after one of his last start on the most recent homestand, where we asked him how he was feeling physically. He said, it feels like June to me. I feel like I'm just getting going because, you know, it's you almost forget that he was signed midseason and that he was still definitely in the process of getting himself ramped up for this part of the season. So I think he's the guy who has the experience. He has the pedigree. I think he has pretty much everything you need except the 95-mile-an-hour fastball that we see from aces nowadays. But I have full confidence in him at this point. I think over his last six starts, his ERA is sub one or around one. So I have full confidence in him. I think just generally speaking, though, about these Braves pitchers, it's a very interesting collection of arms they have. It's very different from a lot of what we see around baseball nowadays. Around baseball, everyone wants to have these prototype pitchers that are the guys who are 6'4 and throw 96 miles an hour and are going to bang you out with strikeouts. And the Braves have guys that are not that way at all. Dallas Keuchel, one of them. Julio Teheran, who pitched last night, got hit a little bit, but he's been very consistent this year. And I think that's just harder for batters to adjust to when they are typically seeing these prototypes. And then they come to face the Braves, and they're seeing guys who top out at 89 who have a lot more movement on their fastballs. And as long as those guys like Keuchel and Teheran can locate the fastball and get ahead in counts, that's really what's important for them to keep hitters off balance. And if they can do that, the velocity doesn't really hurt them.
It is Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline as we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We were talking about it earlier. Julio's never going to really overpower guys. Now, sometimes he can sneak a 92-mile-an-hour fastball, but he's all about movement and obviously location. So you trust him coming out of the bullpen?
I mean, I trust Julio Teheran pretty much most of the time. And I think honestly, one of the things that you know with Julio is that you kind of know when he's going to have a good start and when he's not. After one or two innings, you kind of know where it's going to go. And I almost think that benefits the Braves heading into the postseason, because if you use him as a starter and you can see that things aren't going well for him, that he's not able to locate the fastball, like I mentioned earlier, then you can bring in a guy like a Mike Foltynewicz or whatever fifth starter that the Braves are using now that they're going to use out of the bullpen come the playoffs. I think that you're very well, you know, you can use him to come in and relieve Julio. I think Julio will start. I think just because of his experience, I think Brian Snicker trusts him. He's, you know, and we know Brian Snicker likes to lean on guys he can depend on. I think I would expect Julio to be in the starting rotation come playoff time. Of course, things can change. If he has another couple bad outings as we head in here at the end of the regular season, that might change. But I think at this point, despite the fact that he got hit a bit last night, I think he's still a guy that Brian Snicker is going to lean on in the playoffs.
It is Joe Patrick, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, talking Braves baseball with you guys. Is there a team you fear more than another? I mean, outside of the Dodgers, Mike and I were saying this. We don't want to give any momentum to any of these teams. If you had a chance to pick our first opponent in the first round, is there one that you want more or less than the other?
Well, I think the one that you want to avoid, of course, is the Nationals because of the starting pitching that they have with guys like Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg at the top of that rotation. In what will probably be a three-man rotation along with Patrick Corbin, who's not bad himself, that's a really difficult three-man rotation to go against in the playoffs, and it's not something I would want to face if you're the Braves. Now, that being said, the Braves just took three or four from the Nationals at home, and they beat Strasburg, they beat Corbin, but that's a team I wouldn't want to face, and it kind of brings into question this whole notion of how do the Braves approach the end of this regular season, going into the playoffs. How do they position themselves? Will they want to try to position themselves so that, do they go for the title? Do they go for the NL title, try to catch the Dodgers, get home field advantage throughout the playoffs and play the Nationals? Or do they kind of position themselves behind the Dodgers so that they don't have to face the Dodgers or the Nationals most likely in the first round of the playoffs? Maybe they play against the Cardinals or something. I think it's an interesting dynamic because if you look at the Dodgers, the Dodgers are a team that you almost need home field advantage against to have a chance to beat them. I mean, the difference between them playing at Dodger Stadium and away from Dodger Stadium is huge. They're only 39-33 on the road this season. So, it's a tough dilemma. I think Brian Snicker will kind of play it by ear. I think he'll kind of, go with his regular routine. And, if the team's been, down late in the game, maybe then he'll sub out some guys. But I think that in general, this team's going to try to continue to win as many ball games as they can. And I don't think 100 wins is out of the question.
It is our man, Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Just one more question, Joe. We talked about the return of Nick Markakis. He's going to play some left field. Austin Riley with an amazing throw last night. It just, unfortunately for Brian McCann, he just thought the guy was going to be there with a sweep tag. We should have punched him out at home plate. But Austin Riley can't hit right now. It's bad. So what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to carry him in the lineup in the postseason? What's the Austin Riley plan?
Well, I mean, to me, I would not carry Austin Riley on this squad. I mean, I hate to say it because he's been so important for this team at points this season, but I would not carry him. I mean, he's just at the plate. He's a liability. He's striking out way too much. He's not even, you know, providing really solid at-bats. And I think that kind of leads into what I want to talk about with Nick Markakis, because, you know, he's another guy who's a huge question mark for the Braves as they go into the playoffs. He's not a guy that was – I feel like some people are treating him like he was a guy who was a star of this team and was kind of undroppable. And the reality is that he's been okay. He's hit .284. He had 9 homers this season before the injury. And I think that, you know, considering he had a wrist injury, it's a huge question mark as to what he's going to be able to provide when he comes back. And I certainly don't think – I wouldn't suspect he's going to come back and be able to outperform what Matt Joyce is doing recently at the plate. So – their splits are not much different, righties versus lefties. I know Brian Snicker has kind of, you know, said that he might want to use Markakis against left-handed pitching, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know that I'm not trying to downplay what he brings to this team, because he does bring a lot of intangibles to this team. He's a clubhouse guy, a real leader within the team, but I am interested to see how much Markakis plays and then where he also bats in the lineup, because if he doesn't really provide much then other than kind of just giving you some quality at bats, maybe drawing some walks, is that really the guy you want hitting in the five hole behind Josh Donaldson? You know, we'll wait and see what happens.
Good stuff. Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joining us here as we are live at Twin Peaks. We will talk soon, Joe. Enjoy the weekend.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, man. I kind of agree with him on that, Mike, and we've talked about it. It's, you know, one of those things. You got off to such a great start if you're Austin Riley, but you're looking at how this lineup's going to play out in the playoffs.
Right.
You need production up and down the lineup, and I got to be able to count on you, you know? So I kind of agree with him on that. That's an interesting question, though.
It's a very Jeff Francoeur-like start to his career, but in like only in the space of like 3 or 4 months. I don't mean that as a meanie. I'm just saying, I mean, Frenchie sometimes had a wide strike zone. Really, at times, and Jeff would be the first to admit it, not really knowing what he was doing up there. I mean, we all love Austin Riley, but that's why you and I said it's imperative they get Josh Donaldson signed. You got to keep him around, man. That guy's been money.
You got to do it. All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. How did Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator now with the Jets, respond to Odell Beckham's comments? And also the latest injury update, along with what is wrong with Cam Newton. It's next on Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.